Hello and good afternoon.
Hi, good morning on my end.
How you doing? Doing very well. What's going on with you today, man?
Oh, man, just recovering after a slew of West Coast shows and just kind of getting awake.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Being up on that stage, though, there's nothing like it. And I wish that those that come in attendance could just have one moment or one song on that stage just so they understand our connection with it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Of course, some of them would probably choose to stay where they are.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Hey, I love the backstory of Hammer of the Gods. You're saluting those bands of the 1970s that were big and bold. That was my generation when I was growing up. So I salute you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
What did you pick up along the way? I mean, what was it about these bands that really, you know, kind of led you toward music?
Well, I mean, as a kid, and especially back then, everything about it was appealing. Just the sound, the look, the almost over the top. You could almost say sort of like superhero-esque quality to the musicians and musicianship, big stage productions. All that stuff was just appealing, and the power of the music and. And so that's probably what just got my juices going on in terms of even wanting to do this myself, you know?
Yeah, there was also something about that turntable and those huge speakers that were connected to it.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Wow.
I even had vinyl pressed up on this record, so it's funny you'd mention that. I just approved the vinyl test pressing yesterday, so.
See, that's exciting because I'll tell you what, this new alpha generation is, they're starving for something they can call their own. And to get them back into that album format is, that what a great step.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's just a tangible thing to even have in your hands as opposed to just something stuck on a thumb drive or just sitting inside your phone somewhere.
Yeah. Did you find yourself just holding onto it and staring at the inside sleeve and all that kind of stuff like we used to do?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. Yeah.
So there are 9 cover songs on Rock and Roll Diary. Talk to me about that.
Well, they're not really there's actually 12. They're all original songs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And on the CD and digital release, there'll be 12. And then on the vinyl, it's 10 because you have to kind of shorten the running time on the vinyl because of the physical properties of actually putting music into vinyl. Otherwise, the sound quality suffers if you go too long on the length. So, yeah, but there's basically 12 overall songs on the entire record.
Man, how long did it take you? Because these days, the one thing I'm hearing is that we took it one song at a time, but we wanted to make sure that we released music along the way so that we could have that album.
Yeah, no, I waited until I had the whole album finished, and then we're doing staggered releases. So we're releasing singles one at a time to just kind of get, get the whole thing. But at some point, the whole thing will be available to everyone. But yeah, it took some time to just make sure everything was right, you know, and I was happy with everything.
Am I wrong to say that I can hear a little bit of prog rock in the beginning of Hammer of the Gods?
You are not wrong. Yeah, that's part of the thing that I do. I'm not a total 100% prog musician or writer, but I do have that side, especially with the Rush influence that I grew up with and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's definitely part of what you're hearing there.
Well, man, that's the kind of stuff that'll earn you a ticket over there to one of those festivals over in England and Germany.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. It's and the video that goes with it. I mean, for you to choose the animation, I thought that was very clever.
Thanks. Yeah, that was that I got some help, a lot of help from a guy who actually also did the album artwork. And you know, that's kind of more his forte. And I knew for a song like that to do sort of a big production video was going to be, it's a little longer. And I thought that to have something visual to go along with that track, all the ups and downs and everything would be cool. And I like the way it turned out.
With today's music business being the way that it is and all these arenas and small houses, you know, show me your analytics, you know, show me your numbers. What are the people doing? So that video plays a major part of that because I bet you're going to get some serious hits out of that.
Yeah, I think it helps you sort of promote the music. I mean, it goes back to, I guess, even the MTV days, yeah, where having a music video, a visual, helps sell the audio, you know. And I think even today, people, they want to have some sort of visual connection to it as well. And then, you know, you can just kind of turn that off in your head, and once you're familiar with the music, and do your own, I guess, mental video, if you like.
So many of the artists that you listened to and were inspired by were found in record stores. Now, with you releasing it on vinyl, will you put it like at a Barnes & Noble? I mean, that's the nearest thing that we've got to a record store these days.
Yeah, well, there actually are. It's surprising how many brick-and-mortar mom-and-pop vinyl record stores there are. In fact, wow, we literally just performed a show last night at a vinyl record store.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's kind of a thing. I think it's making a little bit of a comeback. It's a little bit of a cottage industry, but, and there actually is some online carriers for that too. I think even I believe the Amazons and those places will be carrying the vinyl as well. So it's accessible.
Did you start things off in your life in a garage band?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, even as a kid, I guess you could kind of call my first band. I started in, I was about 12 years old. And some neighborhood kids, you know, just tried to get whoever had the drum set, you know. I was playing actually professionally by the time I was 16.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Meaning getting paid and playing in bars and things like that.
Yeah. Man, at 16, I was just getting paid beer. I was okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I came up pretty quick. You know, I was one of those kids that would, rather than play video games, I'd practice my guitar for like, you know, 3-4 hours a day.
Don't you see that starting to happen once again? I mean, you walk into a Sam Ash or a Guitar Center and you're starting to see a lot of younger people sitting there jamming out.
You're right. Yeah. And I think maybe that's one good upside of the internet and people sharing what have you, drum or guitar videos, is they'll inspire someone to say, wow, that's impressive and that's cool. And they'll pick up the instrument and work hard to make their own video and share it. So that's actually been a good thing I've noticed. I've seen a lot of really impressive young players and musicians out there.
Are you going to push You and Me Paradise toward radio?
Not sure about that. There's been some talk about it, but I'm kind of leaving that to my manager to figure out what the right move is on that. But that would be awesome. I think it would be that track in particular, I think, would fit pretty well on rock radio.
Yeah, because I mean, it seems like that listeners right now want more than just something they can sing with. They want to have substance. They want their imaginations to be activated.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm one of those listeners that wants that, you know.
Yeah, but you know, somewhere along the line, dude, you're going to have to do a video of some sort where we can watch it on a VR goggle, because I would love to experience being in the same room with you guys, but we're really not there.
Oh, wow. Well, now you're opening up a whole nother kettle of fish. I love that idea, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the total experience. Well, where can listeners go to find out more about the new album, Rock and Roll Diary? And I want them to invest in your merchandise, because I know that is a big thing.
That is. You are correct. These days, without, you know, a lot of record company support or what have you, and streaming is, you know, it's pennies, as we all know. So, but that helps too. I mean, we're not saying we don't want that. We do. But you're right. The merchandise and the physical product is really what kind of keeps our rock and roll lights on and makes us able to get out on the road and keep making this music. So for that, it's real simple. It's billyalexander.net.
Well, that's good. Keep it simple.
Yep.
Absolutely. Are you going to tour over here on the east side of the country?
It's possible. My other band, Why Not, yeah, that is both Rush and original stuff, we tour East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, and we've got, week after next, we're in Boca Raton in Florida. Wow. But for the solo thing, it just remains to be seen. It's kind of up to how well the album kind of performs, and we'll see if there's a market for some live shows out there.
Yeah, doing a solo thing. I remember Gene Simmons saying the reason why they did their 4 solo albums was for them to go out and learn new tricks and then come back to the band.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's also a good creative outlet that's a little different. And then, you know, and some of the things that might not be quote unquote appropriate for the band or just not a good fit, you're able to still express them and not, you know, not sort of force the other band members into something that maybe they're not as comfortable with. So that's a big part of it. But I think you're right. I think you also take back some of those things back into the band, which I think is a positive.
Absolutely. Dude, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
Well, very much appreciated.
All right. Well, you be brilliant today, okay, Billy?
Okay. You guys too.